Hello, welcome to Life Matters. I'm Richard Adey with you for the next hour on ABC Radio National. Have you been watching that wonderful natural history program on the mountain gorillas? I love it. You can see some of how complex their relationships are and the politics of it all. Today on the show, using insights gained from another near relative of ours, chimpanzees. That's later. How much do you know about the government's plan to send refugees to Malaysia? You'll be aware of this. The idea is that we send 800 asylum seekers to the Southeast Asian country, and they send us 4,000 people found to be genuine refugees in return. I think the technical term is processed. It's a hot topic at the major refugee conference that kicks off today at the University of New South Wales. The conference is being held to mark the 60th anniversary of the 1951 Refugee Convention, and it's worth remembering that Malaysia hasn't signed that convention. I'm joined by Graham Tom, Refugee Coordinator at Amnesty Australia, and shortly we'll also have with us Eileen Pittaway, the Director of the Centre for Refugee Research at the University of New South Wales. But Graham, I'll begin with you. Firstly, thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Are you in favour of sending refugees from Australia to Malaysia? People who are applying.
No, I mean, Amnesty International is fundamentally opposed to this deal. It's a serious breach of international law for a refugee convention country like Australia to be sending people to a country that has not signed the Refugee Convention. And more importantly, it's because Malaysia has such an appalling record in terms of its treatment of refugees and asylum seekers. We know what happens to people who have sought asylum there. Recognised refugees there are treated appallingly. They're considered illegal immigrants. They have no legal status whatsoever.
Well, given that then, isn't... Because part of the deal is that we take 4,000 registered refugees from Malaysia to here. That's got to be a humane move then.
Well, resettlement is very important. And one of the things that Amnesty has done, particularly in our two recent reports we've done on Malaysia, has been to call for governments that resettle to resettle more people out of Malaysia. So, of course, that's a positive. We have 90,000 refugees in Malaysia at the moment, and most of them are in extremely vulnerable circumstances. But resettlement should not be tied to the right to seek asylum. Mixing these two very distinct programs only undermines both of them.
When you say they're vulnerable, what do you mean? I mean, they're not interned, are they? They're out in the community.
Well, the vast majority do live in the community, and they're living in the poorer parts of the suburbs of KL and other parts of Malaysia, often having to work illegally because they have no rights to work. So in order to survive, they're doing construction, they're doing agriculture, they're doing manufacturing, very dangerous jobs. They're being exploited because if they're not paid, who do they complain to? So they have to take what they get. This is where we see a lot of sexual violence against women who are caught in this trap of having to feed their children. And they can be rounded up at any time. This is the point. Malaysia has a group called RELA, a vigilante volunteer group, 500,000 people, and it's their job to go and round up illegal migrant workers. There are over 1 million illegal migrant workers in Malaysia, 2 million legal migrant workers. And so RELA, it's such a political issue in Malaysia. Go and they round up everyone. And if you've got a UNHCR card and you say, no, you're not supposed to round me up, RELA don't care. These guys are given a couple of days training, told to go out, defend the country. Their job is to capture illegals. And that's how refugees, recognised refugees, end up in detention and can be caned.
All right, well, we'll come back to you on that. But to Eileen Pittaway, who's Director of the Refugee Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, joins us now. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
What about you? Do you agree with this initiative of the Australian government?
No, I don't. I agree with everything Graham said about it. It's one of the most disappointing things, I think, that's happened in the last few years.
Mm. Almost as soon as the plan was announced, actually, reports appeared of something Graham's already touched on, the sexual abuse of vulnerable refugee women in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Is the situation for women worse there than in other countries?
Sadly, no. Sexual abuse of refugee women is endemic across the world. But and when I say endemic, I'm talking about 80 in some places to 100% of refugee women are sexually abused and raped routinely. And this is a major problem and one that we've been fighting for years to get on the table and to get some attention for. But we have lots of reports coming out of Malaysia of women being raped and sexually abused in detention and in the work sites that Graham has described.
So if this deal actually goes ahead, and it's not there yet, and interestingly today there are reports that from within the government, certainly the left faction of the government is not happy about this and, mm-hmm. and wants more discussion, would you be concerned about any women that Australia sends to Malaysia?
I'd be terribly concerned about women and children. I mean, we talk about women being sexually abused, but our work shows routinely that young girls as young as 9, 10 are being abused across the world, including in Malaysia. And this is causing horrendous problems for them. Some can never marry if they come from strictly patriarchal societies. Some get pregnant at a very young age, and one of the emerging trends we've got is of the deaths of young girls who become pregnant following rape or a very early forced marriage and die in childbirth because they're just not physically mature enough to give birth and there's no specialist medical attention for them.
I want to bring you back in, Graham Tom, from Amnesty, because you've actually, unlike most people involved in this debate, including people with plenty to say about it, you've visited a Malaysian detention centre. What did you see?
Well, we went into three detention centres and we're talking about very overcrowded facilities, you know, places that are supposed to have a capacity of 1,000, having 1,400 people crammed in. They've only got a budget to feed 1,000, so that tells you how much food these people are getting. But they are in cells the size of tennis courts. You know, we're talking 120 people crammed into a cell that size, and they're kept there 24 hours a day. They're not allowed out for exercise. They're not allowed out for anything. And so skin disease is rife. Other communicable diseases are absolutely rife. You know, people are dying of horrific diseases in those centres. Of course, you've got all the psychological problems. You have, we came across teenage boys who were locked in those cells with adult men. Women and children are kept separately, but they were kept in, you know, a small room, basically, you know, a half a dozen mothers with their babies. And again, 24 hours a day, you don't get out to exercise, nothing for the kids to read. At least the women had a blanket to lie on. The men had no bedding whatsoever.
And our government says it doesn't want to talk about human rights, and I guess I can understand that from their point of view, but any people we might send to Malaysia will be treated with dignity and they'll be tracked and cared for.
Well, we have very real concerns about how that can be implemented in practice. I mean, you listen to the way the Malaysian government talks about the treatment of the 90,000 refugees already there, and what they say publicly and what happens on the ground are two very different realities, because on the ground you have this vigilante force, RELA, rounding people up, and the government has very little control. They have more powers than the police to be able to enter homes and detain people. So what protections, with the best will in the world from the Australian government and UNHCR, what we're really concerned about is the realities on the ground in Malaysia.
More recently, you visited the people who were likely to make their way to Malaysia. These are people from the Burmese-Thai border camps.
Well, I've been to a number of refugee camps around the world and seen the conditions. And I think one thing we have to remember is most of the world's refugees do stay in neighbouring countries. You have 10 million refugees around the world, and yet, you know, only a few hundred thousand come to the West. But it's the horrific circumstances in those countries that force some people to flee. Some people, you know, don't want their child to be raped again. They don't want to see another child die. They don't want to die themselves, and so they're forced to make dangerous journeys.
On Life Matters today, we are talking about the issue of refugees to and in Malaysia. It's very much a hot topic at a big conference which is on at the University of New South Wales this week, which marks the 60th anniversary of the 1951 Refugee Convention. And of course, it comes at a time when the government is trying to put together this deal where we exchange 800 asylum seekers and we get from Malaysia 4,000 registered refugees. My guest, Graham Tom, he's with Amnesty Australia, and also Eileen Pittaway, Director of the Refugee Research Centre at the University of New South Wales, one of the hosts of this conference that I've already mentioned. Now, Eileen, You've also worked closely with those Burmese refugees we were just talking about. Why do they go to Malaysia?
I think there's a feeling that if they go to Malaysia, because a lot of the Rohingya refugees are Muslims, and they think that if they can get down to Malaysia, which is a Muslim country, they may be greeted in a more friendly fashion. But unfortunately, this doesn't occur. It's also one way of getting down if you come out of Burma into Bangladesh and then get a boat down the coast of Thailand and into Malaysia. It's one of the more logical ways for people to escape. They also know that there's a lot of illegal work in Malaysia. Mm. The camps in Bangladesh, where many of the people who are in Malaysia come from in transit, are some of the worst, the most brutal camps in the world, with very little food and very few services. And many of the men escape from Burma to there and then go to Malaysia hoping to be able to raise some money to send back to their families in the camps and to save them and hopefully get them out of there.
So despite everything that you and Graham have talked about with how terrible the conditions are in Malaysia, they're actually better in Malaysia than they are in Bangladesh or on the Thai-Burmese border.
It's comparing two horrors. The conditions are appalling in both places, and I think one of the problems that refugees have is when they flee and they find that they're in appalling circumstances, they then travel on to try and find safety, not knowing often that the places they're traveling to are just as dangerous and just as horrendous as the place they've fled from. Mm. So people in Malaysia have fled horror in Burma, often horror in Bangladesh, and are now again suffering very badly in Malaysia.
Can I ask you, Eileen, about the significance of being a signatory to the Refugee Convention? Malaysia is not. I don't know if Indonesia is either. I have a feeling they're not. What difference would it make?
Well, hopefully, once a country signs the Refugee Convention, they're making an international commitment to upholding the provisions in that convention.
But aren't we a signatory to that convention? And I read in the paper of the Sydney Morning Herald today, Sarah Hanson-Young from the Greens says that we are a signatory, and that means we're supposed to give safe haven to refugees. Shouldn't it mean that we don't try and ship them off to another country?
Well, I certainly believe that, and many refugee scholars and advocates in Australia believe that also. I think it's a real tragedy that Australia, who was actually very active in establishing the Refugee Convention and the international protection regime, is now reacting in the way it is. And apparently not fulfilling our obligations to the convention. It's really sad.
Can I just ask you, because you've been running a women's dialogue for the UNHCR in seven countries over the past year, I know you've clocked up a lot of miles.
Yeah.
What are the common themes that emerge around the world?
The common themes for refugee women and girls are the difficulties of surviving in exile, and sadly the biggest theme that has emerged has been that of sexual and gender-based violence. But this is linked into all of the other issues. When there's no safe shelter, no housing, when the huts provided in camps don't even have doors, it's very unsafe for single women and girls. When there's no way of making a living, when there is insufficient food and insufficient money for basic medications, then often the only thing a woman can sell is her body, so survival sex has become a big issue across all of the seven sites we visited. Registration for women is a problem. Often registration goes to the male in a family, but many women have no senior males in their family, and not having registration for themselves and their children can cause tremendous problems. Problems as simple as having a baby die and then not being allowed to bury your baby because you don't have a birth registration.
Right.
Education, health, the list of issues just goes on.
But it is quite a litany, isn't it?
It is. It's really tragic.
Graham, we have to finish up, but I want to ask you just before we do, do you think this Malaysian plan and the spotlight it's thrown on how refugees are treated there will shift the focus of the debate we're having here?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think
hopefully it will demonstrate why people aren't safe in and around this region and why people do make onward journeys and come to Australia. Hopefully people will get a much better understanding that the people aren't moving because they want to. People are moving because they have to. People are moving because it's dangerous for refugees in places like Malaysia and Thailand and Bangladesh. And if we can get a little bit more understanding around what it means to be a refugee and why they're coming and why they're deserving of protection and a bit of humanity, then hopefully it will change the debate in this country.
That is where we'll leave it. Thank you both of you for joining me today.
Thank you.
My guests have been Graham Tom, who is the Refugee Coordinator at Amnesty Australia, Eileen Pittaway is the Director of the Centre for Refugee Research at the University of New South Wales, one of the hosts of this big conference, which is on. You'll find details on the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. While you're there, if you've got something to say, do send us an email or make a comment on the story, and you can also make a comment, of course, on our Facebook page, or always give us a ring, 02 833 14 30. That is the number. Later on the show, Second Life and disability and education. This is a good story. I think you'd be interested in this. But next, what corporate leaders can learn from chimpanzees.